Live, and it's Late Night with Deanne, and I'm here with my co-host, Jeff.
Greetings. Welcome to the U.S. Phone Force, the talk show that leads the way. My name is Tom Kovach. Perhaps you've read my columns at Renew America or WorldNet Daily. My signature column is a series called Short Bursts. If you served in the military, as I did, then perhaps you've worn a little gizmo called the Kovach Clip, which I invented, or maybe you're one of the 49,000 people that voted for me in the last election for Congress in the Nashville area. Regardless of how you found the program, welcome to the U.S. Phone Force. Prepare for takeoff. Today is Sunday, 20 January, 2008. There are several ways to contact the U.S. Phone Force. The call-in number is toll-free, 800-313-9443. I'll repeat that number, 800-313-9443. Tell all of your friends to tune in to the U.S. Phone Force and to support our sponsors. As we gain more listening members of the U.S. Phone Force, the program will continue to add improvements. You can also visit my website. That address is www.tomkovach.us. That's not .com, it's .us. And remember, Kovach is spelled K-O-V-A-C-H, just like it sounds. You can email the show at radio@tomkovach.us. That email address again is radio@tomkovach.us. Now, today being the 20th of January, 2 days from now, Tuesday the 22nd, will be the 35th anniversary of that dastardly Supreme Court decision, Roe versus Wade. And so the first hour we'll be talking about abortion, and the second hour today we'll be talking about presidential politics. Later on this hour, last segment, we'll have some free fire, and you can call in about anything that you'd like. But we'd like to direct the first hour's topics to the topic of abortion, about how do we get together and stop abortion. There are some programs in the works to try and stop abortion. Of course, people have been trying for 35 years. And because of that dastardly Supreme Court decision, efforts have been blocked. And how can we overcome these obstacles? What can we do to try and stop that? So those are some of the things that we'll be talking about today. And in a little while, we will have a guest who will join us to talk about one of the efforts underway to be able to stop abortion in the state of Kansas. And so, and then later on after that, we hope to bring up a pre-recorded interview. We're having some technical difficulties, but even as we speak, I'm typing in some information to try and bring up a pre-recorded interview that was recorded earlier this week in preparation for the show. However, we've had some technical difficulties, and we will try to bring this up and have it available for listening later this hour. So if you want to call in, again, that call-in number is 800-313-9443 to the U.S. Phone Force here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Or you can email the program at radio@tomkovach.us. What do you think about abortion? And what do you think can be done to stop it? Also, in the news just yesterday on WorldNet Daily, there was a report about yet another incident with a United States Border Patrol agent. This one, however, was killed in the line of duty. There were vehicles that had smuggled something into the United States. The Border Patrol had gained pursuit of these vehicles. One agent in particular was assigned to get out ahead of the vehicles and lay spike strips in a national recreation area, Imperial Sand Dunes in Southern California, and he got out there on the road to lay the spike strips, and the vehicle sped up and ran over the Border Patrol agent, and he was killed. So what do you think about that, and what can we do to stop it? Of course, border security will be a big topic in the presidential elections, and the Republicans made a big mistake in 2006 in the congressional race by not being proactive enough with regard to border security. Now, some political analysts try to say that those elections were a case of the Democrats did a good job of selling themselves with regard to social welfare programs. I disagree totally. I think that a lot of people simply voted against the Republicans because they were weak on border security, and they were long on securing the borders of Iraq and short on securing the borders of the United States. That was a huge political, strategic, and national security error on the part of President Bush and his Republican Party. Now, I know that many of our listeners are Republicans, but I also know that many of our listeners are members of the Constitution Party, as am I. In fact, I'm the state PR coordinator for the Constitution Party. So when we get to hour two of today's program and talk about presidential politics, that will be one of the questions is, are you a member of the Constitution Party? Do you think the Constitution Party has within its reach this year a historic opportunity to put into the White House a candidate that is neither a Republican nor a Democrat for the first time in over 100 years? So is that possible? I believe it is, or else I wouldn't be doing what I do. So what do you think? And specifically, what do you think about abortion and about the Roe versus Wade decision, and what we can do to stop it? again, that call-in number for the U.S. Phone Force, 1-800-313-9443. And we have with us a guest. He was my guest last week on the U.S. Phone Force. And I told him that I don't want to wear a hole in his welcome mat, but he has been gracious enough to agree to another interview because, once again, he has hit the ball out of the park in what he does, and that is investigative columns and writing precision opinion pieces and factual pieces in WorldNet Daily. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the U.S. Phone Force, WorldNet Daily columnist, documentary producer, author of several books, Jack Cashel. Jack, welcome back to the U.S. Phone Force.
Hey, Tom, thanks for having me on the show. Anytime, sir.
Oh, absolutely. Jack, let's get right to it here because this piece has so much information and there is so much background to it.
Yeah.
Tuesday will be the 35th anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision, and so abortion is certainly a hot topic, but it's also a current event because all this information is going on in the courtroom in Kansas. Jack, just let our listeners know the basics of it, and then in a few minutes we're going to take a short break, and then in segment two we're going to go into the details regarding this piece. But if you can lay out the basics for starters.
Yeah, Tom, you know, some stories fall into your – some stories you got to chase, you know, they could be any place, but some just fall into your laps, and that's the case with this one. I am in Kansas City, and this story comes out of – actually suburban Kansas City in the state of Kansas, so it's entirely up my alley. And it involves probably the first serious criminal prosecution against the abortion industry in my memory, and I think it will succeed, and it has some shocking background politics going on with it that make it not only good political fodder, good courtroom fodder, but you know, it's good gossip column fodder. So it has the potential to break out of this area, although the local media are doing their best to suppress it.
Still with me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yes, I think that pretty much sums up the basics of it right there. And if I remember correctly, the particular doctor involved is one that has gained a national nickname, Dr. Tiller, and they call him Tiller the Killer.
Right. Now he's one of the,
some of his background.
Well, you know, there's two players in this, in that industry. One is the notorious Dr. Tiller out of Wichita, Kansas, who has made Kansas, curiously, the late-term abortion capital of the world. The other player, which had been sort of under the radar until recently, is the Planned Parenthood Clinic in suburban Kansas City, which does not advertise itself as performing late-term abortions, but apparently was doing them anyhow. And that's the subject of the most recent round of controversy here.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to take a short break here while we pay some of the light bills. This message is brought to you by The Bible Says. Are you looking for answers to what's happening? Then call 888-211-1715 and request Packet F. This is a free packet to all RBN listeners. This packet contains many free DVDs and books like The National Sunday Law, The Great Controversy, The Secret Terrorists, and much more. That number again is 888-211-1715. Also, we have a message here from our affiliate in Parsons, Tennessee. Cheyenne in Parsons, Tennessee is heading up a Ron Paul meetup group, and that will be occurring at Granny's Kitchen Restaurant. You can call Cheyenne for more information at area code 731-967-2933. Again, that's a Ron Paul meetup group in Parsons, Tennessee at Granny's Kitchen Restaurant. Area code 731-967-2933. And now back to more of the U.S. Phone Force with our guest, Jack Cashel. So, Jack, we have this case where Dr. Tiller is being prosecuted. What exactly is he being prosecuted for?
Well, there's let me just distinguish the two, as I did just before the break. Tiller, that prosecution hasn't begun yet. That will. I mean, there's charges have been leveled. In his case, it's for, and this is where the politics get very complicated. And I have to give some background to the to your listeners.
Absolutely, and you are the king of background. You do so much research. It's great. It's as though you can look right in. When I read one of your columns, I feel like I'm either sitting in the courtroom or I'm walking through the halls of the Justice Department with you, and it's amazing.
Oh, thank you, sir.
The background research that you do.
In 2002, in the state of Kansas, a fellow named Phil Klein was elected Attorney General. The abortion industry put in, you know, he's a Republican in a heavily Republican state, but in the last minute, the abortion industry dumped nearly $1 million into the race just to help his Democratic opponent, almost pulled it out. I mean, Klein won by, you know, 1,000 votes. And they were very worried because Klein was serious about cracking down on the industry, which had turned Kansas, you know, the reddest of red states, into literally the world capital of late-term abortions. I mean, if a girl wanted an abortion in, say, Sweden, she'd come to Wichita, which would seem to make no sense. And you say to yourself, why is that? Does Kansas have the most liberal abortion laws in the country? No. What Kansas did have was the unique ability not to enforce the law, because the Dr. Tiller out of Wichita and Planned Parenthood out of Kansas City were so influential, and they pumped so much money into the various political people, both Democrats and moderate Republicans, that they were controlling the process, and no one was going after them. In other words, in Kansas now, and I mean this literally to be true, if you catch a fish, it's under, like a bass, it's under 15 inches, the state
right.
will crack down on you harder than if you disposed of a baby that was, you know, underweight. I mean, in other words, they protect their undersized fish better than they do their undersized human beings.
Boy, that is an amazing analogy. And another analogy that I can come up with, it sounds like this particular attorney general and these political connectees to Dr. Tiller enforced the abortion laws in Kansas about the way that Bill Clinton enforced the pornography laws that were on the books.
Yeah, exactly. And so what happened is, after Klein had been elected, he could have sold out and become the happy darling of the media, but instead, you know, because he's a very attractive candidate, very smart, and that's what they hated him. He's so, you know, he's good looking and well spoken. You know, he's just the kind of candidate they feared most. And he began to investigate both Planned Parenthood in suburban Kansas City and Dr. Tiller's clinic in Wichita. And he had found real problems with both because they'd both been totally violating the state law. And he leveled charges. And then what happened is that the abortion industry really kicked in. They, with the help of the media, which had been painting Klein during this process as some sort of Snoop Dogg for all he wanting to do was to troll through women's records and expose their privacy and all that sort of stuff. And what they did is they convinced the popular district attorney of Johnson County, which is Kansas' biggest, most affluent county. It's a suburban Kansas City county, named Paul Morrison, to switch parties from Republican to Democrat and to run against Klein in 2006. And the media supported Morrison totally, and they just totally ridiculed the media statewide. It was amazing to see. Ridiculed Klein, you know. And then the abortion industry pumped $1.2 million into the campaign through a series of, like, it's called Snoop Dogg Klein, mailers. And Morrison won. Klein was thrown out of office. And
uh-huh.
they thought they had won the day. Here's where it gets interesting. Klein is also from suburban Kansas City, Johnson County, this affluent county where Morrison had been district attorney. But Morrison had left his job in midterm. So the Republican precinct captains of Johnson County got to pick the new district attorney. And against the, you know, the outcry of the media, they chose Phil Klein. So he got to hang on to the records as district attorney, right?
Okay.
So what they thought was a victory turned out not to be. Now, Tiller was no longer, Tiller out of Wichita was no longer in Klein's purview, but Planned Parenthood was. So as soon as Morrison takes office.
So that's where he, one of the keys is.
Yeah. What happened is that as soon as Morrison takes office, he essentially dismisses the serious charges against Tiller and charges them down to a mere technicality, technical misdemeanors. And then he tells Klein to give the Planned Parenthood records back because he's reviewed the records and there is nothing to them. Now, the case that's coming to court first is the case that no one was paying much attention to. But when I was in court last week watching it, I realized this has the potential to blow the whole thing open, and that's the Planned Parenthood case, because Klein is still on that. Because
Now let me make sure I have this right.
Yeah.
Does Tiller work for Planned Parenthood directly, or is he an affiliate somehow?
No, it's a totally separate entity.
Okay.
He's in Wichita. He's off the hook for the moment. I mean, in other words, Klein can't go after him because he's not in Klein's county.
Right, it's a different jurisdiction.
Right, so we'll get to him sooner or later, but because right now what's happened in Shawnee County, which is where he is,
right,
is that a citizen grand jury has convened, and which is allowed by Kansas law, and they're going
love
after Tiller. Now, in Johnson County, however, the case is coming to court, and what it turns out is that I went to see the preliminary hearing on Wednesday, and it was much more dynamic than I expected.
Okay, before you get into that, there is one other question that I'm not clear on, and before you get into the real, because I know this is where the real meat starts.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I have one other background item correct before we get any farther.
Right.
That is that when Klein was doing his investigation, when he was still Attorney General,
uh-huh.
So you're saying that it was a preliminary investigation. It had not yet led to any specific charges. He was still doing the investigative work. Is that correct?
Well, what happened is that just before Klein left office, because the abortion industry was fighting tooth and nail to keep the records out of Klein's hands.
Right.
And it took him at least 2 years to get them, and it had to be approved by various judges. One of whom is a guy named, who come into play, is a guy named Judge Anderson out of Topeka. Finally, it wasn't until after Klein had been defeated and before he left office that he filed charges against Tiller. He did not file charges, however, before he left office against Planned Parenthood, but he took those records with him because he's now the district attorney of Johnson County, where Planned Parenthood is, so it's within his jurisdiction. So, and when Morrison came in, as I mentioned, he downgraded the charges against Tiller, and then he signed a mandamus action demanding that those records that Klein had for Planned Parenthood be turned back to Planned Parenthood. He said he reviewed them thoroughly and there was no problem with them. Now, here's where the court case was fascinating on Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
Testifying in court was this guy named Judge Richard Anderson out of Topeka. Klein had him review the records. He had to have him review the records to get the subpoena or review the case against Planned Parenthood. Well, when Morrison ordered the records to be turned over, they were in Anderson's hands. And so immediately, as soon as Morrison ordered this, the Planned Parenthood attorney showed up in Anderson's office, and they said, hand over the records. And Anderson refused. He says, let me show you something. You know, these records here that say that these abortions were done on non-viable babies, you know, that had to be filed.
Right.
And the Planned Parenthood said, yeah, what about them? The Anderson said, they're counterfeit. They're made up.
Oh, boy.
These aren't real records.
Now, I
remember copies
reading
of real records.
That, but
they're not original records. They're manufactured records. Anderson, on his own, had taken them down to the Topeka Police Documents people and said, tell me whether these records are accurate. They look like they're all manufactured. And they said, you're right, they are manufactured. This came out in court on Wednesday. First time I'd heard that.
This is fascinating. Now, another question that comes up here, and this may be an interesting legal twist, and I don't know if this came up in the hearing, but if Planned Parenthood was seeking an order, a mandamus, against Klein to order him to turn over records in his possession. But the records were not in his possession. Then even if they win the hearing and they get the mandamus order, it doesn't apply to Anderson, correct?
No, it doesn't. I mean, he has authority over that. I mean, he can reject that, which he did. And what he testified to, and he's no friend to Klein. I mean, it's not like he's not a pro-life or anything. But when the Planned Parenthood attorney came, and this is what he testified to his hearings, he was shocked how insistent the attorney was that he give him the records. And he said, "Can't you see what's wrong here? Can't you see what's the matter?" You know. And the plan put in, and then the Planned Parenthood attorney started calling him names, like, "You're being unpredictable. You're inconsistent. I can't depend on you."
Oh, right? Boy!
And this came out in court, and Anderson is very mild-mannered guy with no axe to grind, you know, and
uh-huh.
He's testifying to this. And so, what it appears likely happened, Tom, I mean, just based on the evidence that was presented, is that Planned Parenthood of Overland Park, Kansas, had been, despite the fact they said they never did abortions past 22 weeks, it appears they had been routinely doing abortions past 22 weeks. They had been not insisting, they had been passing these abortions off as being done only on non-viable babies, which is allowed by law, but it appears that they were entirely viable. And then that what they did is when they were called to task on this, they manufactured the records. There's at least 23 cases pending where this was true.
Oh, my. So
now,
in theory, this could end up as 23 counts of murder.
Murder! You're
my,
right.
Oh, my.
And, as you know, this Kansas City Star, which won the Maggie Award from Planned Parenthood last year for its...
editorial support?
Editorial support. Editorial and news support, you know.
Yeah,
that was their number one award in America for stomping anti-choice zealotry. That's what Planned Parenthood said.
Let's take a little sidebar there, and our listeners, as Network President John Stattmiller likes to point out, are the most educated audience in talk radio. But the Maggie Award is named after Margaret Sanger,
right,
founder of Planned Parenthood,
yep,
who was an author back in the 1920s and 30s who founded Planned Parenthood and in her editorials praised the population control policies of Adolf Hitler.
I have to straighten you out here because she was ahead of the curve with Adolf Hitler.
Really?
She didn't think Adolf Hitler went far enough.
Ah.
Here's what the difference was. In population control, and both Hitler and Margaret Sanger wanted to control the population of imbeciles in the percentage of imbeciles in the population.
Yes.
According to that's her word. According to
well, that was the prevailing word at that time for the mentally retarded.
Right, and according to Margaret Sanger, based on World War I draft tests, 47%. Of Americans were morons. That's what she used too.
Oh boy!
And she didn't believe they should be allowed to reproduce.
Oh.
Because she wanted it for her to have population control meant they didn't get to reproduce, and the other 53% got to reproduce as they chose. That was her idea of how to do it through birth control. They could have as many or not have as many children as they wanted to, but they didn't feel the imperative because they didn't have to worry about the race because the idiots were being constrained by law.
Right.
In Germany, and she thought this was much too soft, the Germans had no controls over the morons. They didn't insist that they not be allowed to reproduce. They just asked their own women, the good German women, to have lots of children. So she was worse than they were.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
And we're back with more of the U.S. Phone Force here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest live is investigative columnist, author, documentary producer, Jack Cashel. And Jack, before the break, we left off in kind of a fascinating location. We took a sidebar regarding the newspaper in Kansas City and how they had won the Maggie Award, named after Margaret Sanger. And there is one other key point that our listeners should know about the history of Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger, and that is that the original name of the Planned Parenthood organization was called the Negro Project. And
well,
Margaret Sanger's goal was to put an abortion facility in every black neighborhood in America.
Yeah, they fell into the 47% of the population she considered morons, you know.
Right.
And what she felt, and she said this outright, is they should not be allowed to reproduce. And in 1927, the liberals on the Supreme Court, the breathing, living Constitution people, passed a decision called Buck versus Bell, in which they ruled that states had the right to prevent people who weren't too bright from having children.
Fascinating that the liberals think that states have the right to have more abortions, but states don't have the right to limit abortions.
Yeah, that's right, and they could tell you who can have children and who can't. I mean, that's where they're heading. There's a book out now called Liberal Fascism, which I'd recommend to everyone. It's a very good distillation of that period in American history.
Speaking of books, you have a new book out, Whatever Happened to California?
Right, What's the Matter with California? And I get into this topic as well, just the whole notion of how by killing God or trying to, California threw open the doors to the terrible social pathologies that followed. And it's often, you know, we joke about California religions, but in total, they were very consequential. Not in what they accomplished, but within they broke down, and that's traditional faith, belief, family, that sort of thing. So, but back to Kansas, where you wouldn't think you'd have those problems, but you do.
It's amazing.
What I didn't tell you about before the break, Tom, was the salacious, interesting detail that has thrown this whole case topsy-turvy.
Now we're into the meat.
And, you know, there's some days you wake up and you say, when you read the newspaper, you say, yes, there is a God.
Yes, even in Kansas City, even in their
Kansas
liberal
City.
Newspaper.
Right. Well, actually, the story broke out at Topeka because the Kansas City Star would have sat on it all along. Now, as I was explaining before the break, Paul Morrison, the district attorney who changed from Republican to Democrat to run against the guy Phil Klein, who had been actually trying to enforce abortion laws in Kansas, with the full-throated blessing of all the media and the abortion industry, and had triumphed. And they were just thrilled, you know, that in a Republican state that they had now a Democratic, not only governor, but a Democratic attorney general. And the Democratic governor, Kathleen Sebelius, was responsible for getting him to turn parties, and they had stopped Klein in his tracks, and he was no longer going to be able to persecute these poor abortion mills. Well, it turns out that even while he was running for office for attorney general, as district attorney, Klein was having this torrid affair with a woman in his own office, in the district attorney's office, in the office, you know, in the judge's chambers, on his desk, wherever, right?
Her name wasn't Monica, was it?
What's that? No. Actually, her name, I'll talk her name because her name's kind of funny. Her name is Linda Carter, which was Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. How
and,
appropriate.
And that'll come up. And so what happens is that and while he's running for attorney general as a family man, he's having his wife and children do ads for him. He's having this, like, torrid affair, right? Not only is he having a torrid affair, but I think his wife is beginning to get wind of it, and he gives this woman a $16,000 engagement ring as though they're going to get married, you know? Now, where does a public servant get $16,000 by a ring? I don't know, but that's another story.
Exactly.
Probably from the abortion industry. In any case, so about a year after he's in office, and this story broke in December of 2007, just about 11 months after he was inaugurated, the Topeka newspaper breaks the story. The Kansas City Star would not. And they reveal the sordid details of it. And there's one, because what happened is the woman, once she rejected Morrison, Morrison turned crazy and started harassing her, you know, hounding her. And so she filed a sexual harassment suit against him. And in it, she claimed not only did Morrison sexually harass her, but that he had commanded her to subvert Klein's investigation into Planned Parenthood.
Oh, boy.
Because she was still working in the district attorney's office, right?
Right.
This is a bombshell.
Absolutely.
Now, at first, the Kansas City Star tried to ignore it, but they couldn't. And Morrison was forced to resign. And now... Klein is, you know, he said, hey, listen, resignation's not enough. There may be some criminal wrongdoing here. I have to pursue this. You
Absolutely.
Know? Especially if he were trying to subvert this the ongoing case against Planned Parenthood.
Right.
So the question of his relationship with Planned Parenthood and the governor's relationship with him has the potential to really, really blow up. They're going to try to bottle this up, as you can imagine the media here will. But... already, it's a lot of people have their head, you know, under covers now. They don't want to see or know any more than what they've seen or heard.
They want to abort the investigation.
That's exactly right. That's the they're pro-choice all the way, you know.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is that it's hard to believe how deeply the media here blackened the name of Phil Klein, the good guy in this story.
Right.
How thoroughly they tarnished his reputation, so that he had a hard time, I mean, even going to the supermarket without getting hissed, you know, by people who thought he was like the devil incarnate. All he wanted to do was to expose women's medical records and hound these poor abortion doctors who were trying to do their job. And, you know, he was a crazed zealot. That was the word they used, a theocrat, you know. Now, the problem they had with Phil Klein, and I know Phil well, is that he's a smart, good-looking, extremely well-spoken, sophisticated guy, you know. He's the exact opposite of the caricature. And they knew that once exposed, if the people could see Phil Klein, you know, and they would understand that that was true. So he's his. We did a. I filled in over Christmas for the host of the big local AM radio show here, Chris Stegall on KCMO. And I ran a contest, MVP, Most Valuable Person in Metropolitan Kansas City. And on KCMO, which is a big station, Klein got at least 80% of the votes. So his reputation is on the way to being restored. And nationally, you know, he has become a leading figure in the whole pro-life legal movement.
Good. Jack, are you willing to interface with some callers?
Sure.
Okay. We have Mary from Maryland. She's been holding for some time now, but... she called in right about the time you got into the real meat of this story, and she has been patiently waiting. So, Mary, welcome to the U.S. Phone Force.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to bring up two dire medical conditions relating to childbearing that I'm aware of, and I know people affected by it. The first, which you never hear discussed by polite people.
Okay, Mary, I need to interrupt you for just a minute. I'm having real trouble hearing you. We'll try to turn up the line a little bit, but if you can speak up a little bit into the phone, that would be helpful.
Okay, I don't have the best phone connection. Can you hear me?
I can. It's a little bit better now, so go ahead. You were saying about prior medical conditions during childbearing.
Yeah, two dire medical conditions I'm aware of. The first relates to bladder and bowel injuries caused by childbirth, which causes women to end up needing to wear adult diapers. This condition can often be lethal. It often is lethal in third world countries, and the women live like lepers. They're divorced. Their husbands don't want them anymore. But even with medical improvement, this condition is still pretty common. 30 to 50% of all U.S. mothers end up needing products like Depends because it does affect their bladder and bowel health. And then the second condition is that there's a very high incidence of cancer among women who have daughters, all kinds of cancer. Breast, face cancer. My best friend was killed by a lethal face cancer. She had estrogen-sensitive skin cancer, and her last child was a daughter. And her doctors warned her not to have any more children. But she went ahead, and she had a daughter, and her cancer returned 9 months after she gave birth, and it killed her. It destroyed her nose. Her mouth, it took away one eye and ear, and then it went into her brain. And I think this is really why we have a high incidence of cancer among women. And so I see this as a health issue, and I think that there's not enough acknowledgement of the scary health issues that women face regarding childbearing, and this is why many of them seek out abortion. They don't find out about these things until they're already pregnant.
Well, I would, and let me just to jump in here, is in the case of Dr. Tiller's clinic in Wichita, even by his own testimony and by the testimony of other doctors, there is no medical condition that late-term abortion alleviates. In other words, it would be easier to have the baby at that point than to kill the baby in the womb, which induces more risk of things going awry, because the women have died in the course of late-term abortions, even at a clinic where it's, you know, where that's their specialty. So, yeah, I mean, there's risks both ways, but there's a life involved here, and it's not that's not the issue in this case. It's just not even an issue.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I, my understanding, especially in the case of cancer, and of course there are different types of cancer that have different symptoms, but either the cancer itself or the chemotherapy very often can reduce the patient's ability for blood clotting, and therefore, if the woman goes to have an abortion, and as is sometimes the case, the instruments used in the abortion can make an incision in the uterus and cause internal bleeding, then that patient is at much higher risk to not be able to stop the bleeding.
Right.
So,
I should add, too, Tom, that, you know, in Kansas, according to Kansas law, you can have a late-term abortion if there is a risk of to the life of the mother or serious and irreversible damage to the mother. In every single case, there has not and Tiller has to document this, and he does at least document it, however falsely he documents, is that there has never been a threat to the life of the mother among the cases of late-term abortions he's done, and of the physical case of the damage cases, all of them are mental. And when they cut to the chase on the mental, when Klein got into his records, it turns out that mental meant it's supposed to be sustainable, you know, what they call irreversible, major irreversible damage, which the Democratic governor finessed to mean mental as well as physical. But the cases in question, when they were reviewed, here's the kind of irreversible mental damage they were having. Girl said she'd be upset because she couldn't go to Bow Wow concert, you know. Girl would have to miss the rodeo circuit. Girl would miss the prom. This is major and irreversible damage, right? No.
Right.
This is all bogus.
Exactly. And that gets right back to the manufactured record thing, that even when the records were not manufactured, they're shaky at best.
Right. They were. If they weren't manufactured, they were false. You know, they were making up claims that were unsustainable in any kind of court of law, you know. In other words, if you were out fishing and you had your 14-inch bass in your boat, by Kansas law, it says you have to show the inspector your catch, and you have to do what the inspector says. So if he says you got to throw that one back, you got to throw it back. But here, you know, you couldn't tell him, oh, this is it just seems to you to be 14 inches. It's actually, I measured it 16 inches, you know. And he'd say, oh, it's 16 inches? Okay, well, you keep them. Your measurement's as good as my measurement, you know?
Right.
That's the way they're arguing the case in Wichita with Dr. Tiller, you know?
You know,
that's when Morrison was elected, he came in and said, oh, you have two doctors. The trick is you have to have two doctors say that this is major and irreversible damage. Morrison said it didn't matter whether the doctors were telling the truth or not as long as the two doctors said it.
Oh, boy.
And so he threw out all the charges that Klein had filed against Tiller. He said all the law says is the two doctors have to say that it's a case of you know, major damage. And we don't have to prove, they don't have to prove that it's true. And so he threw out the case against Tiller.
And of course, they apparently don't have to prove that it's major either, such as missing the prom, oh, boo-hoo.
Yeah, right.
Or missing the rodeo circuit.
No, I mean, that's what it came down to, and that's why Tiller is, they're both in big trouble. I mean, both Planned Parenthood and Tiller are. I think they're over, Planned Parenthood has the guns to probably withstand it, but I don't know that Tiller does, although he's got a lot of money. It's a big business.
One could only hope that in this particular case, Mr. Klein should prevail at the local and state level and then force Planned Parenthood's hand so that they appeal to the United States Supreme Court, thus opening the floodgate nationwide for these abortion records to be under investigation nationwide. I mean, I can see where this, as you said, this may turn out to be the most dramatic part of the case because this has implications that could reverberate across America.
You're absolutely right, because if Planned Parenthood is doing this in Kansas, they're probably doing it every place else. You think they're not doing it in California, you know? Think they're not doing it in New York?
Well, apparently they're not doing a good enough job of containment with the $16,000 contribution for engagement rings.
Yeah.
Well, of course, I don't know for sure that that money came from Planned Parenthood, but these are the same people that told Congress several years ago that they had $10 million for a public relations campaign against Congress. Where did they get the money? From Congress.
Huh.
So,
Right. That's a nice circular function there, you know.
Exactly. So, Jack, where do you think this is going to go next? Will we see another installment in your column series about
What happened is that this hearing on Wednesday was a hearing to disqualify the two attorneys representing Planned Parenthood, and Klein did not succeed in that, and he didn't expect to. What he wanted to do was to preclude Planned Parenthood from coming back at the end of a trial, a criminal trial, and saying, hey, listen, we had these incompetent attorneys. We wanted to get rid of them. Now that's
very shrewd legal maneuver.
Right. Plus, what he did is he got the case out in public. Now people are beginning to understand just what's at risk here, what's at stake. The next one is a preliminary hearing to see if they should go to trial. Based on what I heard the other day, I cannot believe that that preliminary hearing will not succeed, that they will go to trial. When they go to trial, the testimony of a sitting judge, who is the prime witness in this case, Judge Anderson, out of Shawnee, who's a good guy, you know, a straight shooter, will be devastating. Now, what Anderson, the other guy that testified at the trial, was a guy that Anderson brought in, a lawyer named Stephen Kavanaugh. And the first thing Anderson did when he subpoenaed the records was to bring Kavanaugh in to make sure that they're absolutely and totally redacted. The names were all identifying information was crossed out. So there was never a risk of exposure of these people, you know, of their identity.
Oh, boy, so their privacy argument falls apart.
It was a red herring.
Yes.
And it was from the beginning, and they knew it was.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
And especially since they claim their support for abortion falls under the invented out of thin air woman's right to privacy.
Privacy, yeah, right.
So now we say that privacy was never an issue in this particular case. I see that as sending Planned Parenthood back to the dugout.
Right, and ideally, you know, you just need one more judge to overturn the whole. And as a constitutionalist, Tom, I'm sure you appreciate just what a thorough violation of the Constitution, Roe versus Wade, was. Even
Absolutely.
If you're pro-choice, it seems to me you can be pro-choice, but you can't be a Republican or a constitutionalist and be pro-Roe versus Wade.
You know, and that is a perfect segue into what we have up next, and that is going into the next hour, we are going to have a recorded interview with State Senator Dianne Black of Tennessee. She is, in addition to being a state senator, she's a registered nurse and has routinely, in every term that she's been involved in politics, has introduced a constitutional amendment to the state constitution of Tennessee. And that amendment specifically says that there is no fundamental right to abortion in Tennessee, and that cuts right into the Supreme Court's claim that there is a fundamental right, and not only the U.S. Supreme Court, but also the Tennessee State Supreme Court.
All right, now, good for her.
And now the difference, Jack, and you'll find this interesting, and as this works its way through the legislative process, I'll either send you some information or perhaps I'll write something about it myself, but this particular time, you see, in the last election, the Republicans gained the majority in the state Senate for the first time in Tennessee since 1875.
Huh.
So this thing may now gain some traction, at least in the Senate, and I've been looking at the chatter on this on the Internet, and the pro-aborts are starting to shake nationwide.
Yep, I think they know that their days are numbered, you know. I would say on this topic, here's a movie I recommend. I think it's the most effective pro-life movie ever made.
Which
and
is
it's that? A box office hit, and it's called Juno.
I have heard about this. Yes,
it's a little off color. I wouldn't take your little kids to it, but it's still PG-13. And bizarrely, the screenwriter is an ex-stripper who claims to be pro-choice, but she's made the most pro-life movie ever released in popular theaters. You know,
God will have his way.
Yeah, honestly,
one way or the other.
Yeah.
Well, Jack, thank you again, as always, for being a guest on the program. And this is a case that bears watching, and you have done a great job of exposing it in your writing and in this interview. And I look forward to seeing other details as they unfold.
Well, I'm sure there will be, and thanks for having me on, Tom. Good luck, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye.
Jack. Take care. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was Jack Cashel, author, columnist, investigative columnist, documentary producer. He's best known for his recurring columns in WorldNet Daily. That would be the publication that invented the Internet newspaper. They just had their 10th anniversary last May, and the staff got back from their 10th anniversary cruise. It was the first time that they had had a cruise in which readers got together. And they went out and celebrated the 10th anniversary a few weeks ago on a Caribbean cruise, and they had a good time. There were some articles about that. And we'll hear more from Jack in future programs and more from WorldNet Daily. You can see my occasional columns there as well at worldnetdaily.com. I know that that is very popular with Republic Broadcasting listeners. Now, we're coming up on the top of the hour. And my original plan was to have the second half of this hour with this recorded interview. It was recorded earlier this week with State Senator Diane Black. But this material from Jack Cashel was so good, so rich in detail, that there was no way I could interrupt him. So a slight change in plans in that when we come back from the top of the hour break, we will have the recorded interview. Now, I am expecting a possible call-in guest. I've been trying to get this guest all week to do a pre-recorded interview because I was told that he would be too busy today to call in live. So I will not reveal just yet the name of our guest. But if he calls in, our producer will let me know, and we will interrupt the recorded interview with Senator Black, because this is a person who on this day is on a very tight schedule, and if he calls in, we will cut right into him, and then we can pick up the recorded interview afterwards. And this topic of the state constitutional amendment will dovetail very well with presidential politics, because abortion is an issue that just will not go away. For those of us that believe that abortion is murder, how can we allow even one innocent, unborn baby to be murdered in the mother's womb? But I understand that there are libertarians and even some constitutionists who may be listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network right now that disagree, and they say, well, it's a woman's choice, we shouldn't restrict personal freedoms, blah, blah, blah. I'd like to hear from you, too, and we can debate this as it relates to the state constitution or to presidential politics. This coming Tuesday, the 22nd of January, is the 35th anniversary of Roe versus Wade. So we'll be back with that interview.